Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Join us on Thursday as we explore Pet Health and Homeopathy, a show co-hosted by Homeopathy World Community founder and homeopath Debbie Bruck, and Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, author and homeopath Christina Chambreau. We invite you to comment and call in to contribute your questions. Let's go!
Okay. We are live, and today is May 29th, 2014, coming to the end of this month, and we're in the midst of summer. It's getting quite hot, and people have been, at least I've been harvesting my garlic, and Christina has about a month to go. Other people I've been hearing in India are sweltering under the heat. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about how you regulate your pet's environment or what you need to do to handle the conditions of heat this summer. But the major thing we're going to talk about is how to control or take control of your pet's health care or your animal's health care. So I'll let you, Dr. Christina Chambreau, get us started today.
All right. So, welcome everybody. It is moving into summer. We started my community supported agriculture. I've had two boxes so far, so 2 weeks of that, which always makes me know that summer is here. And I planted onions this year because I never get enough onions. So I planted about I don't know, a quart worth of onion sets. And they all are coming up beautifully, so I've got at least 50 onions out there, so that makes me very happy.
Yes, it will be great.
And a lot of, this is a time of year when people start seeing ticks. I've seen ticks on my cat. Healthy animals still can get ticks. Healthy animals do not get fleas, but healthy animals can get ticks. So it's time now to start thinking about what you're going to do for ticks and for fleas that usually show up later in the season. But in some parts of the country, of course, people have them year-round. So the first is to build up health. The second is to resist what the media and conventional veterinarians and other sort of conventional types of people are telling you to do at this point. So right now you're hearing, make sure you're on flea preventative. Take this drug and make it easy. It combines heartworm and fleas, Trifexis, flea, tick protection, and heartworm protection. So I keep hearing people, you know, who call me and go, well, the vet said I had to do this, or I got scared, the vet scared me. Or I went online and I saw all these horror stories about animals that got dogs that got heartworms. Or I live in this area in California and my local holistic vet says my cat needs to be on heartworm prevention. So for all of the trick about all of this is, number one, especially since this is a homeopathic show, where I learned how to think about health and to understand how to make good choices came through learning the basic principles of homeopathy. Too many people just say, oh, arnica for bruises, hypericum for a crushed finger in the door, sulfur if you're sort of smelly and prefer cold and have maybe diarrhea problems, like that. So people look for a remedy for a condition, and of course, people who've been studying homeopathy realize it doesn't work that way. You're matching the remedy to the individual. But as important as that, is the understanding about health and illness. So if you are looking not at the person says to do that, the vet says to do this, the news says to do this, you hear that and you go, should I do that? Then you step back, and because homeopathy is based on the vital force, you ask yourself, what's the vital force of my animal like? How healthy is my animal right now? How can I build health further? Would giving a flea chemical on the neck that says you have to have gloves on when you give it, would that build the health of my animal? Would that improve the status of the vital force? Would that get rid of some of the weaknesses and susceptibilities that the vital force has? Or maybe could it make my animal more toxic? Could it be a chemical that my animal could be sensitive to and get sick from? So you're the one to make the decision. No veterinarian, holistic or otherwise, no list group, no listserv. Don't let anybody else make your decision. You may have had Lyme disease and been struggling with Lyme disease for 15 years, and finally you're starting to recover. And there's no way you want to see a tick come anywhere near your house. And so you're going to make a different decision than somebody who isn't wrestling with Lyme disease at the moment. And your decision, neither decision is right or wrong. It's finding the decision that's right for you and right for your animals. I was just talking with someone today who was asking about a new food she had heard about and wondering, because it's made in Thailand, if it would be safe, and concerned about it. And basically I said, you know, it's got a good name. It's Waruva. It's got a good reputation. And anytime you have processed food, whether it's made in China, Thailand, or the United States, you don't know always what's in it. So even those with a good reputation, you don't know what's going to show up in it at any time in the future. So when you're making your own food, you have a little more control. And sometimes that works for people and sometimes it doesn't. So that's the really important thing, is knowing that there is an energy field that's unique to each person and animal. How do we identify that energy field? We identify the energy field by the symptoms that a person or animal has ever had in their life and has now, including the early warning signs like goop in the corner of the eye, little red line on the gum, all of those symptoms together, the totality of symptoms, says what that energy field is. Plus, as a detective, you can sort of search out some sensitivities that vital force has. You know, it seems like every spring we have trouble. Or, wow, when I look back over what's happened, I realize that my dog got vaccinated, 2 weeks later gets a vaginal infection, on antibiotics for a month, and then she feels punk and lethargic and not herself for anywhere from 4 to 8 months. And then she's fine until I vaccinated her again, and it happened 3 times. But because she wasn't paying attention to all the symptoms and looking as a detective for, okay, my dog just got sick. What caused that? Another person called today, and her dog was coughing last night, and I wasn't too worried because, according to her, it had just started. But she was worried enough that she said, I think I need to get him checked out at the emergency clinic. And I totally support people, you know, in doing whatever feels right to them. And she called this morning and said the dog has pneumonia. And yet this dog hadn't been sick. It was a sudden onset. So she and I are going to have to be detectives to see what triggered this. Pneumonia just doesn't come out of the blue. What was it that triggered it? And then you can make judgment calls. If it was sick after getting a flea treatment, chemical flea treatment, then you can just stop doing flea treatments. If it was sick after you are away on a speaking tour, and you do speaking tours for a living, then you're going to need to find a way to improve the vital force so the cat doesn't get sick and you can still do your speaking tours. So that's the thing, is by the way you stay in control of making decisions is by really understanding this vital force that's sensitive, that gets pushed out of balance by what it's sensitive to, produces symptoms, and then if it can produce strong enough symptoms, it's rebalanced and the symptoms go away, or it needs treatment to be rebalanced. So the second piece, so number one, you need case taking. Where are we now? What are the symptoms? What caused the symptoms? Number two is, once I've given a treatment, what's happened? Cure, palliation, or suppression? So again, back to the basics of homeopathy to understand if you're slowly, steadily moving towards a cure, or even erratically moving towards a cure, or are you just having to keep doing something over and over and over again to keep the symptoms at bay, but we're losing ground overall? Or you got rid of the symptoms, but now they're sicker with something else. The itching went away, the hip lameness went away, but now they have liver problems. So that is the most important thing you can do to really be in control of your animal's health, and is to study homeopathic philosophy. Read Hahnemann's book, The Organon. Read Don Hamilton's chapters 2 and 3 in his book, Homeopathic Care of Cats and Dogs. And in my journal, the Healthy Animal Journal or the Healthy Dog Journal, there's two pages on evaluation, and there's a page on the early warning signs. So there's little bits and pieces of it in there, but mostly that's for you to use to keep track of your animal's symptoms. So that's the other thing you want to do, is create a journal so you can track things. So that's the main way to stay in control. The second thing is, or the other thing you need to be thinking about is, how do you interact with veterinarians? So first, anything else we want to say, Deb, about understanding the basic principles of homeopathy? Does that make sense?
That makes sense. You're covering it well. Basically, it's your relationship with your pet, your animal, understanding the changes from the normal healthy state to recognizing something's a little bit off, that when you go away, the animal may not be responding properly, whether they go hide under a bed or when they're normally friendly or something like that, is just like a mood change, or whether you always point out the goop in the eye, so changes to discharges, things like that. Whether they last for, let's say, a couple of days to a week, it seems like the animal can recover, and so that's not something to worry about, but it's when something lingers. Is that what you're saying?
Well, lingers or recurs. So maybe, maybe from age 1 to 4, twice a year you saw a little goop in the eye, and then age 5, now you've been noticing you see the goop for 2 or 3 days, but it's every 2 or 3 months. And so that's just a clue to you that here's a symptom that's showing up more frequently, even though it's not a bad symptom and it's not there very often. That's just a clue. Let's try something else to improve health. Let's do one of the 7 keys. Let's try, you know, a new diet, fewer chemicals, more training, more exercise.
Yeah, we all need more exercise. We all need more exercise.
Oh, there are some that don't. I know some dogs that really are getting more exercise than they need.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, yeah, there's some people who are like marathon runners.
Mm-hmm.
And they may have dogs that aren't marathon runners.
Oh, yeah.
And I know for sure of horses who are these 100-mile endurance ride horses, and they love to do it. They love being out with their person, And yet, every time they do a 100-mile ride, they get sick.
Hmm.
And so you could say, well, never do another 100-mile ride, and maybe that would be good to do for a year, but more it's a clue that the health is off, and maybe you can build up health, and then you build up to another 100-mile ride, and if they get sick again, then you may say, you know, this horse needs less exercise.
Or smaller spurts of exercise.
Right,
you can
exactly.
Do 25 at a time, 50 at a time.
Or not a competition. Yeah. Maybe it can do a 100-mile mm-hmm. ride, but not in a competition. Maybe the mm-hmm. owner gets so uptight in a competition that she gets nervous and her seat is tighter, and so she's putting pressure on the horse's back, which makes the horse tired or sick.
Mm-hmm.
It's so cool because there's so many different possibilities.
A lot of tiny factors that you don't really think about.
That's
that
right.
Could be affecting the health of the animal. So what I'm hearing is that just like, let's say, my daughter or something has weak lungs, so she would always either come down with asthma or a cold or a respiratory thing. In the animal, too, they might have a weak organ system that every time they're on the verge of getting ill, that you're going to see some signs in that area. So how do you boost that part of the body?
Well, actually, now we want to shift this thinking. The vital force does have certain organs in each person that it tends to get sick in. So your daughter in the respiratory, say an animal in the digestive. But it's not trying to boost the digestive system or the respiratory system. It's to rebalance the vital force so it's no longer weak in those areas. That's where you get your permanent cure. Boosting the respiratory or boosting the digestive, if you focus on that, it may help in that area, but then you may get other expressions of illness if you haven't completely fixed the vital force. So our goal is always to get the vital force itself completely balanced.
Okay, you're going to go into explaining that, or are you going to change the subject? That sounds interesting to me, like a lead into something. How do we work on the vital force in such a way that I think about, you know, doing something for the organ system? But go ahead.
Right. Well, for instance, if you were looking at having your daughter be as healthy as possible, would you be looking in books for homeopathic remedies just for the respiratory system? Or would you be looking for the remedy that matched her as an individual who also had respiratory problems?
It would be one part of the totality.
Exactly. And that's the point. The point is you look at the totality. Because if you can find the totality, then that weakness or tendency towards respiratory will completely go away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the meantime, would it be good to be doing, you know, having good air filters and avoiding dust storms and, you know, things like that? Yes, absolutely. So you want to do some palliative things, some supportive things along the way, but your goal is to fix the vital force.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting because today we are learning so much about environmental impact, environmental toxicity, contamination, pollution, and hazards that affect all of us. And so we are doing a lot of avoidance of things. Like you said at the beginning, the person who was dealing with Lyme disease may look at ticks in a totally different way than mm-hmm. a person who's never had it. But it seems like a general community-wide view now that we have to do a lot of avoidance of foods that may have, let's say, gluten or GMO or something that is going to be an irritant to the body. And do mm-hmm. we do that same thing for animals?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's the part of being in control is understanding your animal. So mm-hmm. if you have a dog that never has gotten GI problems and who drags home rotten meat from the woods and gets roadkill off the road and never gets sick, then you're probably not going to worry so much about what the dog eats. It's like that doesn't seem to cause a problem for this dog. And should you try to avoid GMO anyway? Certainly, because that's an environmental issue. So we want to avoid GMOs because of the environment, because of having a monopoly, an economic monopoly, because the rest of the world doesn't like it and we're going to be the only ones growing it and eating it, because, you know, there are all sorts of reasons to avoid GMO in addition to health individual health concerns. So definitely you're right on that. And so how you fix the vital force is with energy medicine, whether it's homeopathy, really good Chinese medicine, Reiki, prayer, Christian Science, healing meditation. It doesn't matter what it is, and often you use more than one thing, but it's, you'll know when you've done it because all the symptoms go away.
And we will have to come face to face with people who will say hocus pocus, because being in control and believing in these types of energy medicines may be out of the realm of the majority of veterinarians or healthcare providers or even friends, family, and neighbors.
Yes. These days, I think it is, unless you're living in a fairly isolated area, I think you can find a veterinarian and an internist or a GP so your whole family can have the benefit of holistic health care. So even if you have a veterinarian, you may not have a holistic veterinarian or a homeopathic veterinarian right near you. What you will have is a veterinarian willing to work on those issues. So, for instance, I had somebody that wanted to go to a new veterinarian in town, very sick cat, and needed to go to a vet to get examined. And so I called the veterinarian, and she knows nothing about holistic medicine. I mean, she hasn't trained in any holistic medicine, but she was more than open to talking with me and, you know, agreeing not to give the antibiotics, not to give the steroids, and she said, you know, I think the cat's in okay shape. Let's wait 48 hours while you treat it holistically, and then if there's no improvement, then we'll do an ultrasound. And it turns out they did the ultrasound today, and there was a foreign body that was, something was stuck. I don't know what it is, and they were doing surgery. So. Mm-hmm. You need to have both, but this was a vet who was willing to work with us. So you can have a homeopathic veterinarian by telephone, by going to the Academy of Veterinary Homeopathy website, which is myavh.org, and you can have a local, regular, conventional vet who's just open to it and willing to let you make your choices. Actually, there's a vet here that illustrates this very well. One of the vets in the practice is very sensitive herself, and so she raises sheep to eat, so she has clean meat for her allergy or GI sensitivities, and so she feeds raw meat to her dogs. And so she's totally open to that and to holistic things, although she's not trained in them. When I spoke with the owner of the practice, I, you know, asked him one day how he was with people doing different approaches, and he said, you know, people do all sorts of internet research, and they come in really telling me what to do or asking, you know, can we do this? And I am totally open to people doing what they want. Now, I will give them my opinion. If they don't want to do any vaccines, I'm going to tell them I think we need to do some minimal vaccines. But I'm okay, and I will treat their animals even if they don't agree with me and don't go along with that. So I think we're seeing more and more of those. On my website, which is myhealthyanimals.com, there is an article on selecting and working with a holistic veterinarian. So it talks about, I don't know if I have enough about conventional in there, I'll have to add that, but it talks about, you know, how to ask the questions and what they need to be willing to do with you. And I'll work on that article and add some more about working with the conventional veterinarian when you're doing holistic yourself. So that is the third chunk that to talk about is when you go, first off, you want to interview veterinarians. Pay for an office visit if you aren't happy with who you're going to or you've moved to a new area. Pay for an office visit and just say it's a well checkup. And when you see the veterinarian, you say, here's what's important to me. Here's how I practice health, and are you willing to work with me? And check out their website, and just there's a flavor to different practices that you'll get a feel for it. This is a practice pushing high technology as much as possible. This is a practice who's willing to work with me. But you can have one vet in a high technology practice who's still willing to work with you. So you can do the research so that you can ask the questions. And if you have to pay for a double appointment so you get all your questions answered when your animals are ill, do that. Too often a veterinarian says, your dog has gingivitis. Your cat has hyperthyroidism. Your dog has hip dysplasia. And you have to give heartworm preventative every month year-round. And you go, well, why? Or you just do it because they say so. Instead, you want to ask questions. So you want to say, what is gingivitis? Show me what you're seeing so I can see if we're getting better. So how bad is the hip dysplasia? What does that mean? What is the prognosis? What should I be doing? What else could I be doing? So heartworm. Why do I give heartworm every month? How do dogs get heartworms anyway? You'd be amazed the number of people I talk to who do not know how dogs get heartworms, and yet they're giving a drug every month to prevent getting heartworms. And once, we've talked about this before, but once they know that heartworms, many don't even know they're transmitted by mosquitoes, and most, even a number of veterinarians, including myself, didn't used to know this, that the mosquito has to be at 65 degrees or warmer in order for the heartworm to develop for 2 weeks. So you definitely don't need to do it during the winter, even though, yes, there are mosquitoes around, and ticks, they say, do year-round. Well, yeah, ticks can actually be alive in the winter, but we often don't see them on our animals. So they're there, but do we really need the chemical? And then, of course, there's natural approaches to all of that. Like for fleas, I've got the Kindle book, Fleas Be Gone, Holistic Veterinarian's Approaches to Natural Flea Control. So there's so much you can do that's natural, but most importantly is that you have a relationship with your veterinarian, so they are not going to sneak in vaccines behind your back. They're not going to take them in the back and do things to your animals without checking with you first. They're going to let you participate, and that they're open to having a dialogue with you, and that you let them know you're willing to listen to what they have to say. Because you may decide that what they're saying makes sense. In the case of his cat who was vomiting, you know, it was a dialogue between the three of us. And I was perfectly willing if the veterinarian there had said, you know, the x-ray is a little suspicious, which she said, I think we need to do the ultrasound today. I would have said, okay. But she said, you know, I think we can wait. And so that was even better. And the drug she prescribed wouldn't have made any difference if it was an obstruction. So that was good. We didn't do the chemical drugs. So it's a dialogue. It's an open dialogue. But the point is you, in conversing with neighbors, friends, relatives, veterinarians, other dog owners, etc., let it be a dialogue. Let other people have their opinion. Their opinion is their opinion, and your opinion is your opinion. And one may not be more right than the other. So
how do you prevent yourself from being influenced or swayed by one approach or the other? I mean,
if you have very carefully taken the case, as we say homeopathically, if you've written down all the symptoms that are present and you've looked at the early warning signs, so you have this list, and you think somebody, whether it's a homeopathic vet or an acupuncture vet or a conventional vet or a friend, and they say, you really ought to do this, and you go to yourself, wow, I think they know what they're talking about. I'm going to do it. So you do it, and then you carefully evaluate, is this helping or not? And therefore, you have to understand cure, palliation, and suppression. So there's no being swayed by somebody else. There's only collecting information, making a decision, trying it, evaluating the results.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key, is carefully evaluating the results. Because the truth is, there's a lot of children that are vaccinated that don't get hurt. And then there are a lot of children who are vaccinated, and we're not sure if it's the vaccine that made them sick. We're pretty sure, a lot of us are pretty sure it is, but it might turn out to have been something different that we didn't even know about. It might have been GMO corn that was causing the problem, and we didn't realize that connection. And then there's some that are going to be really harmed, and it's clear to many people, although not all, of course, that that's the cause. So the same thing is true with your animals, you know. If you're paying attention, you'll notice deterioration from different causes, and then you make up your mind. You're the one that lives with your animal every day. You're the one to track the symptoms. You're the one, the woman who took her dog to the emergency room last night, she's really in tune with her animals. And other times, I've really pressed her not to go, and it's been fine. And this time I didn't press her not to go. She'd already called the taxi, and then she called me. So I was very clear she knew she needed to go. And it turns out she did. The dog stayed at the hospital all night. It's you as the owner that knows, really, when you pay attention, you do know.
Okay. It sounds to me that in the world that I believe that you need to have a trusted advisor for your own life decisions, then you would need the same thing for your animals, your pets, your children, that you have someone that you really do trust, and you might have to go to one or more people to get advice in different mm-hmm. situations.
Exactly. I would say not one person as your advisor, but you do develop each of... We each seem to... It's like, why do you marry the person you marry? Why do you have the friends that you have? Why did you get that dog or that cat? There is, there seems to be some cohesiveness, some attractions that are meant to be. And so you may find somebody who really is perfect for you as an advisor. And when you follow their advice, you do very well. And if that's true, then you follow that person's advice, but you don't do it blindly. So
mm-hmm.
that, again, it gets back to you're the one who knows, not your advisor. Your trusted advisor gives you advice, but you're the one to say, oh, that makes sense. I'm going to try that. Oh, look, all the early warning signs went away and my dog is peppier. That was a good choice. Or you try what your trusted advisor suggests, and you went, wow, that didn't do anything, and it was expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So no one trusted advisor. Like you said, you may need to consult different ones.
But even if you make a decision and you believe it's the correct decision, mm-hmm. sometimes it does not work out.
Well, that's why you're tracking the symptoms. That's why you understand the principles of homeopathy. If it doesn't work out, then you go, okay, that didn't work. What's next? I mean, in my, you know,
so
odyssey,
we have leeway. We have leeway. I mean, is this telling us something about possibilities? I mean, some decisions can be life threatening. So how
Absolutely.
Do we know? Right. So
well, but you know, everything's life threatening.
Mm-hmm.
Every decision you make is life-threatening. You decide to walk downstairs, taking that first step, you could trip and fall and break your neck.
You certainly could.
A friend of mine's daughter at age 50-something, that's what happened.
Oh, dear.
They found her at the bottom of the steps with
mm-hmm.
a broken neck.
Oh, dear.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, there is no decision that's not life, you know, life-threatening or life-affirming. Every step is life-affirming. So do we sometimes look back on decisions we made? You know, some people spend years of grieving and feeling guilty because they vaccinated their animals, and
mm-hmm.
then they read about the symptoms of vaccine, you know, illnesses that are caused by vaccines for children or animals. You know, people with autistic children can do this, or, you know, other illnesses or death. And they look back and they go, oh, my goodness, that,
mm-hmm.
I caused that death. I caused that problem.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, you were doing the best you could, and there is no way to know.
There is no way to know the future. No, you can't know.
And there's no way that there is no one right decision. If there was a right decision, I'd be curing every animal out there.
Right.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah. There are morally right decisions in action in life, but in terms of medicine, you take the knowledge and experience that you've had from the past and use it to go forward with what is it called? Statistically, you know, you've seen this work, and then you're going to use it again in a similar situation.
And it just may be a very heartfelt. Part of the problem, I think, is that this right wrong, we're raised in the United, in most school systems, not just U.S., most school systems raise people to think there's a right answer. You're
mm-hmm.
only get an A if you did the teacher's right answers. You
mm-hmm.
don't get an A because you had a really great explanation and you had this figured out really in a cool way, but it was wrong. It's either right mm-hmm. or wrong. It's not how you got there or how you're thinking or the process. So we look at life as
the end
right
result.
Or wrong. End result. Yeah. You have to do it this way or that way.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, from
there's a loss of innovation.
Right. And also a pressure that's put on us. And we put more pressure on ourselves because we somehow live as if this short lifetime of, you know, 20 to 30 years for your cat or 80 to 100 years for yourself, that's all there is. And if you make a mistake and you get hurt or you hurt somebody, that's it. You're done. You know, you're either dead or you've hurt, you know, you feel bad the rest of your life. And our little, we're just here, like, we're just a little speck of time.
Mm-hmm.
So the atoms that made the universe, no more atoms were made after that beginning. There were two sort of beginnings, two parts to it. And after that beginning, nothing new has been made, except very briefly in a lab. So the atoms that are in you and me are the atoms of dead people, dead trees, and dead animals. And many people believe, I certainly do, and others don't, and that's fine too, but I've seen animals come back to their owners over and over again in different forms. And I've seen people, families cycle, and there are ghosts that are out there, and there's, you know, there we don't know. We really, you know, if you go back 10,000, 40,000 years, you know, there was each generation, there's different perspectives and different things you think about. In Noah's day, before Noah's day, they used to talk to the Nelephims and the angels and the, I forget all the names of everybody. And then they stopped doing that. And now we're back to doing that a lot more. There are a lot more books about talking to angels. So I think the key thing is you do the best you can at any moment. You educate yourself as much as you can. You learn what's the current state of health and mm-hmm. what the responses are to any treatment, and then you forgive yourself and move on if it didn't work the way you wanted it to.
I just had this, like, you know, when something clicks in your mind,
mm-hmm.
you were just talking about Noah, and I'm thinking, oh my, Dr. Shambro is talking about Noah, who brought all the animals onto the ark.
Oh, right.
Well, there's a good connection for you. Really taking control of the health and well-being of the animals.
Right.
And
you're right.
That's really funny, but, you know, there's no coincidences.
That's
I don't
right.
know how we got to be talking about it, but there you go. And I did pop over to the website you mentioned, the avh.org, and
mm-hmm.
clicked on articles. And there's a whole bunch of articles there about
mm-hmm.
Treatment for different situations, whether cats, ear
and
problems.
And the early warning signs, the early warning signs of internal imbalance are there too.
Oh, cool. Okay.
So not
so
just in my book or my website, but it's also on that website because we all put them together. It wasn't just me.
Mm-hmm.
It was
so
lots
that's
of,
a
lots of
great, great resource.
And then, of course, my website has loads of articles. But I want to stop for just one sec. We're talking about
okay.
Noah and animals
yeah.
taking care of each other and
mm-hmm.
us taking care of animals. I think it's the perfect moment for you to talk about that wonderful video you shared with me of a cat
oh.
taking care of its owner's child.
Right. And you know, you may not ever believe that this could be possible. I did post it on Homeopathy World Community. If you go to the announcement page for our show, it's the one that says Dr. Shambro tells you to be in charge of your animal's health. And I did post this. It's a viral video. A hero house cat saves a boy from a dog attack. And it's amazing. Everybody is retweeting this and putting it on Facebook. How can you imagine that a dog that was attacking a little young boy could be saved from a courageous, I guess it's like a tomcat, who would just like whip in there at the last moment and scare the dickens out of that dog and push him away and then come back to make sure that the little boy is safe. It's one of these like Lassie stories, very heroic. And so does that give us an impression that our animals, our pets really are our protectors in some way?
Some of them are and some of them aren't.
Mm-hmm. Some smart ones.
You know, it's just like with people. We're all different. And there are some animals who are clueless.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some animals who can know when they're trained to predict a seizure happening.
Mm-hmm. And they go to the bed in the hospital and tell you which ones have cancer.
Exactly. That's, and some
they can
do.
Smell it
and
out.
Some do and some don't. And some
mm-hmm.
people are intuitive healers and some
mm-hmm.
aren't. And we can all learn to communicate with our animals and hear what they're thinking, but it's to different degrees. I mean,
mm-hmm.
if my cat comes in here and butts up against me, I know he wants to eat or go out. But I've asked him over and over again what he does when he's outside, and I can't get a picture of it. So it's like I'm only
he needs to get a little camera on his.
Well, not so much that. I just want to talk to. I want him to talk to me. I'm trying to work on my animal communication. So just like that, some animals are smart enough to know what remedies or flower essences they need to take. Some animals, I remember an animal that was very ill that I'd been treating, and I thought I wanted a local, a very old animal, close to passing. And so I asked an acupuncture vet to stop by and check the animal. And the acupuncture vet did and said, acupuncture would help. And this dog did not want the needles, and they did it anyway, and the dog died, like, that day.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, was it that the acupuncture shouldn't have been done? In retrospect, we all think, well, maybe not. This dog seemed to know I should not get acupuncture. Mm-hmm. And the vet didn't listen. And we often don't listen. We're too busy. We're rushing out the door. There was a cat once in a house that had been working with a communicator because another cat had been peeing on the walls. And the cat peeing on the walls, it was because he couldn't smell very well. And so once the communicator talked to him and told him that wasn't a nice thing to do in the house, he stopped. 6 months later, there was big pee puddle on a bed in a bedroom. And so they called the communicator again, and it turned out another cat had just been ready to get out and go pee, and they closed the door on her. Mm-hmm. And she didn't know what to do. Now, some cats would have been able to hold it. Some cats would have been smart enough to figure out what would be the best place to go potty for the owner's sake. Some cats wouldn't even think twice about it. This cat was sort of in the middle. She worried about it. She didn't want to. She knew she shouldn't do it, but she just went where she was. You know, she just went right there. And that never happened again. So different animals are different smartness.
Mm-hmm. Or ability.
Abilities. Yep.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Just as is with people. And the more we, I think it's Malcolm Gladwell wrote this wonderful book about pets who wait for their owners. And I don't know the exact title of it, but he actually, a lot of people say, my dog knows when I'm coming home.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And he did his studies. It was amazing. He picked
Is
dogs.
Is it the story
that,
what the dog saw?
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
Malcolm Gladwell, What the Dog Saw and Other Adventures.
Don't think that's the one.
Okay.
I think it has another title. We'll try to come up with it. I've got it here somewhere. But he would do something like, he found dogs that were already known to predict their owners. And he would have the owners do different things. So he'd have them get in their car at work and plan to go to the grocery store but actually go home. And another time they really did go to the grocery store and then came home. And the dog knew the truth about the situation. So the dog would start waiting for the owner when he got in his car to come home, whether it was at work or at the grocery store, and the owner couldn't fool him.
Right. They tried to change their typical trajectory of what they would be doing.
Yeah.
But the animal actually was in some kind of communication. With what their intention was, where they were going, and where they ended up heading. And so they would change their behavior. They wouldn't wait at the door because they says, oh, he went to the pharmacy, he went to the grocery, he went to the gasoline, he's not coming home. So then they would leave the door. They wouldn't be waiting with their tails wagging at the door anymore. So that's how they did record that. I remember learning about that many years ago.
Right. And it's just amazing. So actually, it wasn't Gladwell. It's Rupert Sheldrake.
Rupert Sheldrake, okay.
And it's dogs that know when their owners are coming home. That's the name of it. I should remember that. It's a straightforward title. So that's a book well worth reading. And so it, so do all dogs do that? No.
No.
I was just in Los Angeles teaching for the Los Angeles School of Homeopathy, which I'm going to put in a plug for them. The LA School of Homeopathy, you don't need to live in LA to take their courses. They have it set up on a web thing where I was being videoed with a good camera while I was teaching the class, and the 10 people or 5 people, I'm not sure how many, who were scattered around the world were at their computers listening to me, and they could type in questions or we could actually, they could actually speak on it. And so you can do almost, I think your whole 3 years can be done that way. And the LA School of Homeopathy is very good because they have a set of teachers that teach the entire 3 years. And at the same time, they bring in guest speakers, so you get to see different approaches to homeopathy. So you get both consistency in your education, but the problem with that is you may not resonate the best with that approach to homeopathy, so you still get to see different approaches to homeopathy, as opposed to some schools that have different teachers every weekend and no consistency. So I really like the combination that they're doing at this school. So I recommend the LA School of Homeopathy.
That sounds good. Did you have anything specific on your website that people should take a look at? Do you have any classes coming up?
Oh, thank you. I forgot about that. We have our local veterinary ophthalmologist here in the in the Baltimore area, Janet Isherwood, has been very interested in homeopathy. So when I talked about, you know, mentioned I was going to be doing a class here, she said she wanted to. So we have worked this around her schedule and another veterinarian's schedule, and it's going to be the middle 2 weeks in August, somewhere in the D.C. Baltimore area. And it'll be a 6-day class, and I need to update my website on it. So
in what month did you say? In
August.
In August.
Yep. It's I don't have my calendar in front of me, but like the 13th, I think.
Okay.
Dr.
And or to get on a list.
And what they can do is email me and and just say, interested, you know, send me more information about the class. And she is... and the weekend is the 16th, 17th, and 18th, and the 23rd, 24th, and 25th. So it's a 6-day class, just like I taught up in Calgary last fall. So it's, and if you fly in, you know, if you're coming from out of town, there is so much to do in this area. If you're a veterinarian, there's a lot of holistic veterinarians you can visit here and learn a lot from in the 4 days in between the two classes. If you're... otherwise, you can help at shelters in the area, or you can visit the wonderful National Cathedral and other great places in this area. So if you can take the time, this is the very best you can do for your dog's health, because you will learn how to take the case and evaluation of response, as well as how to do homeopathy.
Wonderful. Well,
thanks
for reminding me. Yep, I posted it on Facebook, and so people can take a look at that information and contact you directly.
Very good.
Do you have any, like, story that you want to tell us? We're coming to the end of the show.
Right.
So if there's anything that you want to really...
Well, actually, more than that, I want to follow up. You started with one, and then we didn't actually get back to it, and that is about heat and dogs and heat. And again, it's every animal is different. So there are some dogs, even with very thin coats, like maybe a Chihuahua, who are just, their vital force is so sensitive to heat that they can come down with a heat stroke much easier than another dog. And there are some dogs, like Huskies, that you would think would get heat strokes all the time, and they don't. So
Really? Yep, absolutely.
Even though they have, I know some Huskies that bask in the sun for hours. It's unusual. I'm not saying it's common, but you just can't base it on a breed. I knew a black cat that the owner said loved in the hot summer in 100 degrees to sit on a tin roof and just sprawl out on the tin roof for 2 and 3 hours. A black cat, cut me a break.
Yeah.
You know,
but they need to be wearing a white coat.
Exactly. So the main thing is to know your dog. But unless you've sort of discovered that it's okay for your dog to be out in the heat, the best is to really avoid having your dogs and cats out in the heat. Make sure they have cool places to go to. Make sure you're paying attention on the walks you normally do if it's a hotter day. And some animals are more susceptible when it's humid, and some animals are more susceptible when it's dry. And that's, again, understanding your animals. And don't think that just leaving your dog in a car with the windows rolled down, parked in the shade, is okay. Because the shade moves.
Mm-hmm.
And cars can get very hot, even with the windows rolled down. And that could be too hot for some dogs. And enough people, including police, have been alerted to the fact that dogs and cars can get heat stroke and die, that you're likely to get in trouble.
Right.
So even if you know that your dog is fine doing that, don't do it in a public place. Because other people don't understand that.
You've told me before that cats typically don't drink a lot of water.
Healthy cats that are not on dry food don't drink water.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's right.
So, but you always provide a water dish for all of the animals?
Well,
is that year-round?
If you just have cats, and then it's up to you to know your cats. So my cat is about, 10 or 12 years old now, and I know that if he's thirsty, he'll jump up on a counter and tell me, and then I'll put a water bowl down for a month, and then I won't have the water bowl down. Now, more recently, this last year, I think he's not quite as healthy as he should be, because I've just had the feeling I need to leave the water bowl down. Now, weeks will go by, and he never takes a drink from it. So, I go through spells of thinking about picking it up again. And then the other day, he emptied it. So, I don't know. I did not pay attention. I was not a good owner. I did not pay attention if it was really hot out that day. Or if I had gotten some sample dry food in the mail and had given him a little dry food treat. Or what triggered it that day? I don't know.
Well, you know,
so
there's some days we just
with
don't
dogs
know.
And cats, when it's hot, you definitely want to have water available, and you want to have fans blowing if you don't have air conditioning, and just realize that's the key is every animal's different, and some are going to be much more sensitive to the heat than others. So it's back to really knowing and understanding your animals, and don't leave them in the car.
Well, this is kind of like a little segue also, because on Monday on the Health In Show, that's live video stream on NissanCommunications.com each Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, my guest is going to be Jenny French, homeopath in New York City, and she's going to be talking about summer remedies, and I'm sure to ask her about heat stroke or sensitivity to sun and heat. So we're going to learn a number of homeopathic remedies to use in these situations. So
great.
That will be good.
You can ask her if you want when she says, well, these are remedies to use in these situations. You go, now, Dr. Shombro always says that it's everybody's an individual, and then that'll give her a segue to say, well, absolutely that's true. These are just the ones we commonly see.
Right. I mean, we're talking about if somebody's in the situation and sensitive.
Yep.
Okay, and I have a quote from Maya Angelou. She says, you are the sum total of everything you've ever seen, heard, eaten, smelled, been told, forgot. It's all there. Everything influences each of us. And because of that, I try to make sure that my experiences are positive, unquote. And that's
beautiful.
That's a tribute to her. And what's totally blown my mind is the stories that I've been reading now, the biographic stories about her life and all the different things that she'd tried, accomplished, challenges she's gotten through. I mean, it's an incredible, it's the life of many people all rolled into one.
Wow.
I had no idea she spoke six languages or that she didn't speak as a child for 5 years because of her the situation where she was abused as a child. So, I mean, it's amazing what we don't know about different people and their life story that just really touches everyone when we hear these stories.
Oh, it so does. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love that quote. Yeah. People, and I recommend a book I recommend reading because this person, I didn't know so many good things about him. He's still alive, but I, like you didn't know about her, I didn't know about him. It's called Last Stand, and it's the biography of Ted Turner.
Oh,
and
really?
He's bringing back the bison and the prairie dogs, and he actually bailed out the United Nations by paying $1 billion when the U.S. wouldn't pay our dues. He paid our dues for us.
Wow.
And never got paid back.
Right.
So it's a very inspiring book to read.
It sounds good. We're learning a lot more. We have such minimal information, I think. Humans think that they know everything, but really, every day we're learning. There are plenty of humans who think that they just know everything. And every single day we're learning millions of more new bits of information, new ways of thinking about the world. Like you said, the bison, how they were wiped out, but how they really were keeping the plains healthy.
Mm-hmm. That's why he's bringing them back.
Yeah, by digging up the soil through their walking and when they moved through the plains, they changed the whole environment. So, I want to thank you so very much for spending time with me and spending time with our listeners to encourage us to be self-empowered for ourselves and for our pets, that we love our animals and they're part of our family, that we become good observers and record in the journal, that people will visit your website and learn more about you and you as a resource as well, not only the larger organizations, but the people that we know we feel connected with in some way, even if we just hear them on the radio. So I do want to thank you for all of that. People can view, I don't know how many years we've been doing this show, but you can go to Homeopathy World Community. There's a group that says Christina Chambrow DVM, and there's 47 discussions, meaning we've done at least 47 shows.
Awesome. Isn't that great?
That is really wonderful. And they are there permanently as an archive, so anybody can look them up and listen to them starting from December 10th, 2011. That's when we started with the Healthy Animals, 7 Keys to Health and Longevity.
Excellent.
So,
And just remember, there's all sorts of other great shows to listen to on Homeopathy World Community, so on Blog Talk Radio. So pay attention not just to mine, but to all the other great ones that are there.
Oh, yeah. There are plenty of shows, and they're on the archives, and you can listen to them. You can download them. You can share them. Anything you like to do, learn. That's the key. The key is learning and taking one little moment to embed that information into your action and belief, and that will help you move forward and grow. So,
absolutely. How wonderful. Okay, well, I got a dash. Have an awesome walk. Don't get too hot.
thank you so much. Okay, bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye
Christina.
Now.
All right, folks, anybody who is still listening, I'll just let you know again that if you go to Homeopathy World Community, there are lots of different groups where I have posted the different shows. So there's a group that had all of the shows from Kaviraj about agrohomeopathy. I've had many, many shows with Dr. Adil, cardiologist, about caring for your heart and your total well-being and homeopathy. Those are really wonderful shows. I did a bunch of shows with Grant Bentley on facial analysis. Those are still there. And 4 years worth of shows with Alan Phillips on vaccinations and your rights in the United States, talking about all kinds of issues, current events, the pros and cons of vaccines, and getting exemptions and waivers using an advisor, for instance, legal advisor. All of the shows that we do on Homeopathy World Community, whether they're Blog Talk Radio or the Health In Show, are purely educational for you to learn. And if you need particular individualized care, you must see your healthcare provider. So I would like to encourage you to listen to the show that I did this past Monday on Health In. It was all about aspirin. Really fascinating. When you start to do research, you learn about acetylsalicylic acid and how it works, how it was used in history for many, many thousands of years, and how it is used in contemporary medicine, and what about all of the warnings, precautions, and also homeopathically, how it has been proven and used in the clinical setting. The other information that I have is that the Wednesday show with Alan Phillips, I believe that will continue on Freedomizer Radio on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. I did a show this past Wednesday. That was yesterday. I believe it's going to be my last show. I highlighted two of the stabilizers in vaccines that, again, have a lot of implication for health. One of them is MSG, and the other is 2-phenyloxal ethylene. And those are chemicals that are not really healthy for the body in oral form by eating them as a flavor enhancer, an excitotoxin, or the other one. I didn't have a chance to actually go through all the information that I've gathered. But you can do research and find out more. Take control of your own health care. Be the person who goes into the doctor's office and said, I found out this information. Can you respond to it? How will it affect me if I have to take a particular drug, or if I'm on this drug, and do I need, what would the interactions be? Or are there actually, which you're usually not given at all, guidance in terms of alternative or health practices, nutrition and diet? Most physicians have little to none information, training about those other approaches to health. Therefore, you might be seeking out an alternative practitioner, a naturopath, a homeopath, a nutritionist who has been well-versed, and many of the other MDs who have had an interest in alternative health. So that is really cool. The other thing that you can find on Homeopathy World Community is a bunch of these educational opportunities, which I myself have taken advantage of. One is the Gluten Summit. It's there permanently for your, if you're interested in learning about gluten intake and whether you're affected and how the digestion and your gut work. The other summit, which is going on, they're going to have a redo or maybe even new speakers, new experts. They had a thyroid summit in the month of May, which is over. However, the information is still available for anybody who wants to tune in and learn about it. Thyroid problems are rampant today. Hypo and hyperthyroidism, Hashimoto's disease, a metabolic syndrome, all different things dealing with the thyroid. This is why it's an important issue, and there are experts who can teach you a thing or two, and you can kind of, again, bring this information to your physician or start changing your diet in some way. There's also the food revolution. This is a revolution that is actually occurring in our time. It is not a revolution with guns and bayonets. It is a revolution in thinking. It is a revolution in word, in communication, in unification of people understanding how they respond and live within their environment and the food that they plant, the seeds that they plant, and how they grow their food and what it is with from harvesting to distribution to getting it onto the plate. What is the best way to prepare your meals? What foods go with other foods? Just everything about food and your health. Remember, food is your medicine. Other things that are available are the Reversing Diabetes World Summit. It was a phenomenal success. The information is still there for you. As a matter of fact, David Moll, I was just talking to him, who was the producer of this program, told me that there will be at least 4 or 5 of those expert talks available at no cost, plus the ebook is a free download by just going to homeopathyworldcommunity.com and clicking on the Reversing Diabetes World Summit to get your presentations. There's a continual new list of educational programmings out there today. Just take advantage of a few of them. The one that I'm listening to right now is from Ty Bollinger about the truth about cancer. It is an eye-opener if you are not well-versed in this field about cancer. What in the environment, and he's got all the experts on that seem to be running through, there's like a thread of information, a thread of experts that run through all of these health conditions that we're dealing with today, whether it is heart disease, high blood pressure, thyroid problems, insulin and diabetes. All of these things deal with our environment, our endocrine system, our gut health, our bacterial living in harmony with the bacteria in our environment that are within our body. Just consider this one thought that really can blow your mind. You are composed 90% of bacteria. Only 10% is actually you. So who is influencing who? Who is the control center? And how do you want your thinking to be clarified and clear and knowing that what you're doing is for your benefit and the benefit of mankind, humankind, and the planet. That is when we understand what is health and what is living in harmony with our environment, meaning the choices that we make and how we are proactive and advocates for those good choices. We have people in the world who have a different agenda that are looking for self needs, greed, I might add, protecting their self and not the welfare of the world or their citizenship or their state, their local community, their water, their air, their soil. That means that all good citizens must, one, become aware, two, become educated, and three, become advocates. Communicate with others, communicate with your representatives, make your voice heard and known. And of course, I'm just on my soapbox right now, but I think it's really, really important. Don't sit back and let others take the wheel, because your health, well-being, and the health of the planet is at stake. So I will encourage you, and let me just take a quick look at the lineup coming up for the Health In shows that will be for the next couple of months running. If I don't have a guest, it's possible you'll just hear my voice droning on. So June 2, Jenny French will be talking about the summer remedies. June 9th, I'm planning a show on glyphosate and kidney disease, or just in general glyphosate and disease, with Dr. Robert Brook. I recently heard from Dr. Chondroit, who wrote the book, Healing the Eye, and he has honored me by saying he would come on the show at some time. We don't have a date for him. On June 16th, there will not be a show. I'll be on vacation. June 23rd, Neera Andaharia, a homeopath in Pennsylvania, will be talking about yoga and how it complements both your homeopractic and your clients. So there is spirituality, yoga, and homeopathy, all of that tied together. We don't have something for June 30th. And on July 7th, Dr. Sourav Arora, who is the founder of odesapir.in, the website of evidence-based clinical cases in homeopathy, will be our guest. I'm not sure exactly what he's going to be talking to us about, but I'm sure it will be fascinating, and maybe he will feature some of the clinical cases. On July 14th, Carolyn Vessel, the creator of Sufficiency. It is a health drink with green tea and vitamin C, lysine, and other wonderful components. Will be talking to us about the benefits of the components in her drink. And then jumping to August 4th, we have Jeremy Scheer calling us from Tanzania, talking about AIDS in Africa and the positive, rewarding experience he's had using homeopathy. On August 11th, Dr. Dinesh Chuan is going to be talking to us about case witnessing. This is a beautiful part about homeopathy, how we as homeopaths are listeners. Then we have the Joshis possibly coming up, and in September, Mike Andrews is going to discuss his book on his brand new book about autism. September 29th, Ambika Waters will be back. She did maybe talking about sound and color energetic healing. And I would like to do a show in October about hygiene during the Global Hand Washing Week. So that's what I have lined up. If you know of any homeopaths or health experts, oh, we have Gerald Cohen. He's going to talk to us either in July or August. He's awesome on Facebook if you haven't been following him. Just lots of good stuff. So if anybody does have a recommendation for someone they would like to have on the Health In Show, please give me a buzz at homeopathyworldcommunity@gmail.com. And I'm wishing everyone lots of waves of awareness, good health, and be well. Take care of yourself during these hot summer months. Bye-bye now.